year and a half ago. And the proposal is more or less trying to use sort of combined simulation and animation and be able to pace simulation and animation components so that they can, you know, can synchronize, not necessarily in real time, but at least sort of from the application perspective. Hey, me.
Hi.
Yes. Yeah. So we're all here.
All right.
Okay. All right. So as we were just saying, you know, just trying to say that we are trying to morph the previous proposal into the CRI proposal. So we I believe that we actually talked about all individually on how to move that towards the CRI proposal. I think that one of the things is we're trying to go after the institutional infrastructure, and in doing that, that means that have to justify so what kind of research could be enabled by this infrastructure. So that's pretty much what we have right now. I guess one of the things we want to do is today is to want to flesh out a little bit about the infrastructure, what exactly we want to have for the infrastructure, and secondly try to figure out what are the things that are needed for the proposal. I'm trying to actually get the skeleton already. I already actually put in the SVN, and I will send out the username and password so that you guys can actually look at the current state of the proposal, and try to figure out exactly, you know, who is going to contribute what part, which paragraph, that sort of thing. Right? Any other things that you guys think about?
So one thing is the hardware.
You probably want to speak.
So, Min, can you hear me?
Not that good, yeah.
Okay, let me...
I'm trying to
come closer. Okay, that's good. So can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we need to do two things today. One is identify the infrastructure, or at least the first version. And the second is to identify the enabling research, right? So I think it might be a good idea for you guys to, especially Ming and Zenyu, to talk a little bit about what kind of research you think would be enabled by and, you know, large-scale infrastructure like we are going to ask for. I mean, are there any specific hardware that are specific to your kind of work, or that we can perhaps find a common ground that across all the different research that we are doing?
So one thing to keep in mind is there are actually two sides of this proposal. One is actually building infrastructure. The infrastructure is not just merely a bunch of machines hooked up by a high-speed network. So it probably wants to make sure that, you know, from contributing side in terms of developing the infrastructure, that we have something there. So obviously one we have right now is the emulation and virtual machine capabilities. And the other one, I think, you can actually chip in, as I talked to you about, is the data center, cloud computing, that sort of things. And in terms of the resource management, when request comes in, and as individual experiments, that resources need to be allocated promptly, and be able to allocate all the resources to those experiments so that they can somehow conduct the experiments simultaneously. So that's the idea. And the flip side, or the other side, should I say, is the how to use the infrastructure. Obviously, the one thing is actually you can use the infrastructure as a engine for conducting your research in, you know, for example, in resource allocation. Mm-hmm. And this, I think this side that Jen, you would have a lot more to add, but I think every one of us would have to identify something so that, you know, I think in the CRI call for proposals says it should be something that you cannot do without infrastructure since some of the research, but enabled by the infrastructure. If we can actually strike that point, and the message will be very clear for people, you know, trying to whether this proposal actually fit with the CRI description.
Right. So, yeah, I think maybe we can talk about the projects that we already think would be enabled, and then that might give some ideas to these guys what kind of infrastructure we are talking about.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
So one is Jason can talk about this, and there's one another project that Sajid is doing, and Ming is also involved in that work, which could also benefit from an infrastructure like this. And there may be more that as we can talk about. So maybe we can start with what you have in mind, and then I can talk about the, you know, Sajid's project that he has been working on.
Okay.
And maybe then, you know, if Ming has some additional ideas. Ming is also involved in the project that Sajid is working on.
Okay.
And maybe then you can just come up with some, common platform.
So one of the research, obviously, is the the idea behind a model-driven simulation in terms of actually trying to get higher accuracy, high throughput for emulation and simulation as well. So I think a lot can be reused in terms of that from the previous proposal, and to talk about, you know, what are the necessary things that could be done in there. I think this is a sort of the enabling part. On the other hand, it's we have to position this very carefully, and not to say that, you know, we don't have the thing we were trying to. You know, this is, after all, it's not a research project. It's a research grant. To some extent, it is the enabler of research. It's a very thin line.
Yeah, I think that this is the way I differentiate CRI from a regular research proposal. With CRI, you propose the infrastructure, and you list the questions that can be answered using this infrastructure without proposing, you know, concrete solutions or approaches for each of those questions.
Right.
So basically, challenges in the research that can be helped to be addressed with this new infrastructure, without actually going into details, well, how exactly are we going to address the challenge? Because I think there has to be a good discussion about actual research questions that we would like to answer based on this infrastructure.
Based on this infrastructure, right.
Right. I mean, certainly we need to give some hints to an approach, but if we want to talk about several different problems, then we cannot go into too much detail within each of those, right?
Right. That's true.
So, for example, is it a question that you can answer to facilitate, if this infrastructure can facilitate the evaluation of 3D tele-immersion kind of protocols and algorithms?
Yeah, sure. I mean, evaluation...
Because it's very expensive very costly to really run, because it involves a large geographic space, the coordination cost for arranging those experiments, bring people there, schedule, for example, a cyber dance experiment, for example. You have to organize all the people, then you can make sure the system at that time is working.
Mm-hmm.
This is one aspect. Anyway, I just want to say, if offline, can we, using this infrastructure?
I think evaluation of research that it has already been done is also, I guess you cannot say any research is done unless you evaluate it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So evaluation is also part of the research in some sense.
Okay.
So you can certainly position in that way.
Yeah, so it's just need to be careful on that. It's always like that. Obviously, they actually give you the flexibility of designing experiments based on, you know, different kind of arrangements and different kind of layouts, right?
Yes.
I think the important point is to stress what couldn't be done. It couldn't be done in the sense that, you know, just the logistics, just the, you know, as you just mentioned. And you have three sites and actually doing this tidal immersion, and obviously that's very fixed in the sense that, you know, how do you know your distributed algorithm is actually going to apply to the general networking, you know, conditions, so the networking scenario, networking or network deployment, you know, different kind of deployment,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can't answer those questions. So if you, you know, it's just trying to sort of position the question, just as you said, it can be enabled by the infrastructure that couldn't be, or it's very hard to achieve otherwise. And I think that would be something that we...
I think an evaluation testbed for research certainly qualifies.
Mm-hmm.
And even the kinds of things that you are talking about, it's essentially evaluation of your approaches, right? In the approaches for synchronization of simulation and emulation, it's you're planning to evaluate it and examine the
mm-hmm.
based on the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, the test bit is always for evaluation of your ideas.
Right. Yeah.
And you don't implement it on the test bit. You evaluate it on the test. And for that, we don't have to explicitly say that we, you know, evaluating it. We can just say, hey, this is a test bit that we are going to use for our research in this direction, in direction A, B, C, and D, and if we have at least four that all share the same infrastructure, that's good enough.
That's right.
So if there is a tele-immersion application or research that can use the infrastructure for whatever purpose, for improving the research or doing the research, I think that's a very good application to have.
I think it's just one thing. I absolutely agree with that. I mean, just one thing to add is to really conduct tandem immersion experiments. And there are a lot of external, you know, hardware that, you know, how we actually gonna be the platform. But he requires, you know, camera arrays. He requires visualization effects. You know, that actually can merge different streams. Would this be part of the infrastructure, or would this be sort of something additional? Because if this is a part of the infrastructure, well, that means that we could say that maybe in addition, maybe some kind of video cast, or, you know, there are a lot of applications that actually have, you know, fit into the same kind of requirement. You do have, you know, very high level, high, carefully arrange the input and output, and how those things could be accommodated. That has to be accommodated, or if you think this is the infrastructure that you could use as a primary platform for your research, and do you think that we should actually add those as part of the infrastructure, or something that could be added by, you know, from his research, or something that has to be a sort of a elaborated in the proposal, right? So obviously you do have something for your research.
So here's what I think. I think that the video cameras, if there is anything other than, you know, the infrastructure that can be commonly shared across all the research that is being enabled, that we need to have enough applications or research that is enabled with those cameras. So if we, let's say we have a proposal where we are proposing to buy 70% common equipment that applies to all research and 30% specialized equipment that applies to only one out of four or five different research directions that we are enabling by this infrastructure, then it might be some somewhat unusual CRI
right,
proposal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying that it's completely will work against us, but it would certainly stand out as a non-traditional CRI proposal.
Yeah, I think from a CRI point of view, they want to actually instrument in one piece of equipment.
Right.
Just one piece of, you know, define.
That enables a bunch
right.
of different research.
Enable a bunch of research. And, but what my point is that we are not actually going to, I don't think actually just trying to ask for cameras and the high, you know, we can justify if we have enough, and everybody seems to be doing that, and that's part of the infrastructure,
yeah.
we could do that. On the other hand, if it's not, it has to be very careful
mm-hmm.
to link. You can't just say, I'm going to do petal immersion on this platform. Obviously, there is some gaps there. I mean, the virtual machines are there, the computation and resources are there, the networking equipment is there, but how that can be arranged in such a way that can actually support your petal immersion, which obviously that you require a lot of peripherals. In that case. So if that's the case, you have to address in the proposal and say, I do have all these cameras already hooked up in my machine. It's just a part of the Astra link into
mm-hmm.
this infrastructure as a necessary extension
mm-hmm.
so that actually I can conduct this experiment. That has to be addressed somewhat.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that would be great, especially if you can say either that I already have the equipment or this equipment, we are in the process of getting it. Or we plan to get it, whatever it is, that will complement the infrastructure that we get from the CRI.
Okay, I think that's a good. I think that's hopefully that's not gonna change too much. You know, you probably can. I guess that's almost everything. A lot of things that you can come from your career proposal, right? At least from application, just
mm-hmm.
sort of a try to position that as a convinced research enabled
mm-hmm.
or enabled research as part of this, and address the issues in between. That's what my point is. You can't just pull out and say, this is what I'm going to distribute the algorithms, and you have to sort of say something about how this particular infrastructure could be used to enable your research. Right.
Yes, I'll try to elaborate on this.
Yeah. And also for your career proposal, you know, some people might ask, if this is your research, if you're going to do the tele-immersion thing, people might ask, okay, what about the infrastructure? You can write to the effect that I plan to get requests for CRI models.
Oh, that's a good point. Very good point. Yeah.
That work helps you.
It helps you. And actually, you can say we are submitting proposals for the acquiring.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because then one might question, well, this is
that's
not
true.
Realistic.
That's true.
You need
that's
a lot of equipment
good.
For this
point,
kind
yeah.
of. I don't know what it is that you're proposing. I'm just assuming that it's something
to do. Something very related.
my proposal, my budget has a 20K for cameras. I want to ask for more, but except with Scott, I think maybe Kaplan and then you want the 10K.
Yeah.
Extra.
It's just a dilemma. I mean, it's never going to be enough. Yeah. Okay, so that covers one research aspect.
Which is still, I think, you know, we need to flesh out how you're going to use an infrastructure and what kind of infrastructure, which we haven't yet identified, right?
Yeah. Yep.
What kind of infrastructure would you need? I mean, are you looking for some network equipment in addition to the hardware, maybe we had to talk about that as well, you know, switches and routers and things
right,
like
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
but these I'm not familiar with, but I just want from the software point of view, right, last time it says a visualization of the...
Right, so that's the one aspect I'm thinking about.
So whatever
adding.
Hardware needed for
yeah.
this,
yeah.
you guys can...
The visualization.
The visualization. Yeah, so not necessarily an application, but more of a feature of the platform.
Yeah.
And visualizing the state, the simulated state and emulated state.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically collecting what the virtual network is actually supposed
mm-hmm.
to be doing with the current state.
Does that also work for the Delhi immersion?
Because in television, I'm curious about the monitoring is a big part of it. And sort of if I can see the user, how did they watch this environment and then associate with how the resources actually allocate a different part of the distributed system.
Yeah.
So sort of display that.
What we could do is we jump forward, actually talk about the infrastructure a little bit and come back to to this. Me, you're still there?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
I'm quiet. I use you.
Okay. All right. So you can't see the whiteboard and now Jane and I were talking just very briefly about the kind of infrastructure we're trying to support. So there are several things. So first is the type of machines. We're going to ask for. So these machines would be some of the high performance, maybe like Raju, you suggested earlier about this many core. I tried to look at that a lot. I didn't actually look at it very deeply, but look at those, you know, for the Sun Spark 2 or whatever, this is Ultra Spark or something, and the what was that called? Niagara processors. So we could actually justify to get some. So by saying that, you know, for example, simulation is really conducting, you know, it's really performing very well on many core environment because of the parallelism that could be actually associated with, you know, conducting large scale simulation runs. And
so what kind of Manicore?
That's a good question. So you may have more suggestions. Manicore is, you know, we just want to, at this point, it's nothing more than just the many processors.
I think the more important question is why are we talking about Manicore in the first place, right? Jason mentioned that, and this is something that we need to talk about as well, which is if we go after commodity infrastructure, right, it's not clear whether the II award is something that can be used for getting commodity infrastructure. And I don't know, I haven't really looked at the call for proposals, but Jason, probably you have, and he was concerned that if you go after commodity infrastructure, it's like, okay, you're going for dual core or quad core, Pentium or any of that kind of, and then a cluster of such machines, the NSF will come back and say, this is not a specialized infrastructure, and this is something that you can, you know, build on your own using cheap hardware if required. So this is something we should discuss, how important it is to build a specialized or propose a specialized infrastructure. And if we go after specialized infrastructure, then we want to buy something that is not cheap, right, that will still be useful for our research, for all the kinds of research that we want to do. And that's why I was proposing to look at many core platforms with large number of cores that can potentially be virtualized, and we could make an argument that we care more about computation or something like that.
How many are you talking about?
I think the biggest many core platforms out there are the Niagara ones, if I'm not mistaken.
32.
And when they came out, they started with 32. I don't know how many they have.
Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously we have to make a good point there to justify many core. So obviously the people ask why many core in the first place. I mean, one of the things we could say, this is the simulation computation is more of a sort of high throughput computation. So you do have many aspects of the system that you need to simulate or emulate or simulate in more particular. So that basically says that you have a lot of events that you have to process in due time, right? So not necessarily in real time, but you have to process them very efficiently. And so there's a lot of events that are coming in, a lot of events going out. So this is actually sort of justify some kind of a, you know, high throughput kind of a computational paradigm. So you just...
Can I add some comments? So I think my medical is definitely good. Yeah, I would like to have some medical to do some experiments. But even if we can see, we just can see the commodity medical hardware like 16 core, there are servers. It's not cheap. So I'm offering a suggestion. Maybe in the end, we don't really have to go with specialized off-market medical hardware. Because if we build a cluster just out of commodity hardware using the existing medical existing core that is available on the market, I think in the end it costs a lot of money. And I think Joseph Fortis and Dr. Segredo at UF and together with some other people, they recently got a CI grant too, and that was about data centers. So I think they have also proposed to buy some cluster like environment. So I'm just thinking maybe, you know, we don't really have to go with special hardware. And if we do go with special hardware, we have to think in the context that we have to stay with x86 model virtualization is available for x86.
Very good point, Ming. So if in fact there is no such special requirement in CRI that we have to propose really specialized hardware, then I agree that going with commodity hardware is actually the best.
Yeah, the performance cost is
the best choice, yeah. Not just for the, you know, the fact that it'll, you know, we can get it at much cheaper price, but also that it'll be much easier for us to use it for our research, right?
Yes, yes.
So I do agree. The reason I suggested ManyCore was to address if there was any such restriction in CRI of.
So maybe going after ManyCore is too expensive, given the amount of money they actually allocated for each project. And if not, so one thing I think we can actually stand out is by thinking about there is a computational requirement and there is a communication requirement. You know, for simulation, more or less is the computational side. Mm-hmm. So you just need the machine power to crank the number of events you can process in a given time. On the other hand, for emulation, for example, data streaming, for video streaming, and those kind of applications, you have to have a very high data throughput, you know, through the system. And so that means that there is a discrepancy between, not discrepancy, there is a sort of there is some difference in between the different kind of applications that coexist in the system. So there is simulation side, which is computational intensive. There is emulation side, which is communication intensive.
Yeah.
So the point here is, can we build a system actually trying to accommodate both, or have a sort of a heterogeneous system? So some of the systems is actually we're going to use not many core, maybe because that the performance cost is probably not going to be as good, and it's probably on the bad side. But at least we could actually do very high throughput data communication. At least do the computation, and use some other machines which actually specially designed for handling virtual machines that has a very high data throughput, because all these. These are sort of a communication or network related software we're going to run on those virtual machines. They are not really computationally expensive. And if that's the case, then we'll have to really think about what exactly kind of virtual machines that we want to run.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, sort of trying to go after the specialized hardware, specialized in terms of that, you know, just by, you know, compare that with the desktop, common desktop environment,
yeah.
Right?
If, if the lack of bandwidth is a problem, why don't we consider a high performance network? That can be a piece of specialized hardware, and it's going to be expensive.
Say that again.
I mean, we can consider a high bandwidth network, high performance network, not regular gigabit Ethernet. So you know, at least we can talk about 10 gigabit Ethernet.
Oh yeah, even more than that. We could.
Yeah, even more than that. Yeah, those are really specialized. Those people recognize those things, and InfiniBand, the medium light, if that makes sense, and they are costly too. Yeah.
So the question I actually want to ask right now is, I know what I need for the computational side. I mean, as many cores as possible, as more parallel as possible, without having to pay the cost, because the shared memory is much easier for conducting parallelism. On the other side, and in terms of virtual machines, the requirements, there are two requirements. One is to run as many virtual machines as we can. So there is, of course, we're going to get into the argument about, you know, whether it's lightweight virtual machines or heavyweight virtual machines or full virtualization or para virtualization or whatever, just, you know, the network stack virtualization. And in addition to that is the throughput issues, right? So if that is part of the consideration, what exactly the type of machines do you think? I know that you have some kind of sort of you mentioned some kind of requirements about the machine architecture, the x86 kind of machine architecture, and virtualization tend to be the good. But there is the other side. For example, you know, like Zen, they do full virtualization. If you get the particular Intel machine, you can get, you know, so considering all these aspects. And if you actually try to get a dream machine for virtualization purposes, just for running network applications, what would you think would be the best arrangement, the best configuration? I guess that's probably where you can start from there. And right.
Yeah, that's certainly one way to look at it. Now. Maybe I should also talk a little bit about the project that we are doing with Satif, which I thought could use a logical infrastructure, and that's about data centers and resource management in a virtualized data center.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
So, and the idea behind that project is that we want to run many virtual machines on the same platform, but we want to dynamically reallocate resources based on SLA requirements, which are the service level agreement requirements across these virtual machines. And so that's one thing that we are working on that could potentially be extended to a more wider scale to say that we are not just talking about reallocation of resources across virtual machines on a single platform, but also potentially doing a migration across multiple platforms in a data center. So that kind of project would require many machines that are, you know, very conducive to virtualization. Something like an Amazon EC2 service, which provides you virtual machines. You don't know where the virtual machines are running, what kind of hardware platform they're running on, and Amazon takes care of scheduling these virtual machines and matching the virtual machines to the actual hardware and so on. So that's sort of the project at a high level that that we are, you know, Ming is also involved in that effort. So Ming, do you want to say anything further along this direction?
You mean the virtual resource management?
Yeah. And how do you think that we can use the CRI infrastructure for that project?
I think it's kind of natural for this guy to ask the research that we have been doing. I think in terms of infrastructure, I think the one interesting thing we can do is develop a the software framework to manage the virtualized resources, kind of like the existing virtual machine management out there. But there are too many limitations over those existing solutions. So I think I can do a bit of research and propose a more comprehensive virtual machine management. That's true. And that will drive all the research that we can do on top of this virtualized environment. So that's down the infrastructure side, whatever I can do. And in terms of research, right, so the virtual, kind of the quality of service driven resource management. I think the project I am doing with graduates at GIF that is around that direction. And the first one, I also have another project with my students. It's also related to that. It's based how to allocate virtual resources to according to applications resource demand in order to satisfy the quality of service. In addition to that, I also have some ideas in using virtualization for large-scale parallel computing and for running time-sensitive applications. So those are also interesting applications that can be enabled on this infrastructure. So I think my problem is I probably need to pick one or two to put in this proposal. I cannot put everything inside of it. But I think this is going to be a very good infrastructure if we can get it. So back to the question, what kind of virtualization software we need? I think most of the existing virtualization software, you know, from lightweight to full virtualization, they are basically all developed on top of x86. So I think that's the only requirement that I have. Of course, it has to have at least multiple cores. If it's a single core, it won't be able to run virtual machines with very good performance. But as long as it's a multi-core that seems to be good enough, but then we can, based on that, we can do further refine what kind of things we need. But that's the bottom line. We want to go with x86. If we go with some specialized hardware, not x86, then that means we'll probably have to develop our own virtual machine monitor. But that will be infrastructure, but that will be more challenging.
Okay. So in terms of the virtual machine management part of the research, and if you say we're gonna construct, say we got the grant, okay, we gotta build the system, okay. Now we got money to buy machines and money to buy the particular software. Or virtual machine software, we can actually hook up and hook the system up. And first question is what exactly we're going to buy, and I guess I hear your voice and what you said is we can just go with multi-core, and because those are commonly sort of supported by all those virtual machine monitors, right? So suppose we're going to do that. And we're gonna connect the machines with sort of a high speed network fabric, okay. And in addition to that, you're gonna just sort of try to make the virtual machines be universally or uniform, sort of running the same virtual machine software. I think the point here is we want to have some kind of heterogeneity built in because we're right.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, it's definitely not required to have homogeneous virtualization software. And that's like actually one thing that I've always been wanting to do is, so it's back to the virtual machine management system. So currently the available system, they typically only can manage one or two different kinds of virtual machines. And that there is a challenge there. There are actually research problems there. But if we present this in terms of the infrastructure, that would be a very very unique contribution to the community. If we can develop a software infrastructure that can support heterogeneous virtualized systems, so So yeah, that's really not the requirement to be homogeneous. We actually we allow the C to be a heterogeneous.
So if we build a software infrastructure for managing heterogeneous virtual machines, then we need to first, I think, motivate the need for heterogeneous virtual machines, right?
I think that could be accommodated by the spectrum of experiments that we need to actually accommodate, right?
So spectrum of research.
Research, or yeah, so and related experiments that one conducts. For example, if you do basically do some kind of measurement, network measurement, but you could actually, the end applications would be very lightweight. For example, just trying to send data or receive data. So the little computational resources required, but it's just a sort of like a traffic generator and traffic sink. And in those applications, you require, it will require very, you know, probably lightweight virtual machine. So OpenVZ or some kind of the network stack without having to really concern about the complexity of a full scale operating system. And on the flip side, you could actually run a very sophisticated, database front end and back end, and so that you have to have all this operating system support to conduct those kind of experiments. So for those kind of applications, you have to move on to a full virtualized environment, and in that case, you have to have a much more stringent resource allocation. You have to give this many CPU cycles for it to be authentic to conduct those experiments to evaluate those applications. And
the assumption here is that you're running all of these at the same time on the infrastructure.
Well, think about that. We are actually going to support multiple experiments. You know, that's the whole thing about
the question is, are we looking at a shared infrastructure or in terms of or a time shared infrastructure, which is okay, we schedule the infrastructure in batches.
I was hoping to actually have a shared, not time shared. Mm-hmm. But keeping the scale that we're doing, we're probably going to be one experiment at a time, and even that is probably it's not going to be over provisioned hardware support. But we can always sort of look forward and saying, well, there are a lot of research could be done in terms of resource management, but we are trying to get some kind of a resource scheduling done so that it can support multiple experiments.
I think a different question would be the kind of research that we are proposing to manage heterogeneous instances of virtual machines, is that a problem that is real? I mean, it may be a problem for our infrastructure and the fact that we are trying to do multiple research projects, but is it true in real life that we have infrastructure with heterogeneous virtual machines?
That depends on what's the environment that we are thinking about. So if we're thinking about just a homemade cluster environment, that's probably not true because you can just save it one virtualizing a software. But if you think like in a cloud environment, and I think at some point in time, Jen also mentioned the cloud password to me. So if we are going to talk about that, if we want to truly have a really large scale system, then we are going to this problem that we may have different virtualization out there, and they are suitable for different kinds of applications. So I don't know, it depends on how this proposal goes in the end. But the bottom line is we don't have to go with homogeneous or heterogeneous. But it usually depends on what do we need. But I guess if we go with heterogeneous, that makes it more interesting to develop a software infrastructure. Because for homogeneous virtualized environment, there are already many commercial, non-commercial software available. Probably hard to justify the need to develop a new management system.
Yeah.
Well, we do need to have a management system in place, or at least a sort of a first brush approach. I mean, the very simple approach so that we can actually get something up and running, because this is AlphaGo, it's a CRI, and it can support a further research on a heterogeneous environment.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, we have to convince the reviewers in the first place and saying that we have the, you know, necessary hardware and necessary software to build the system, right? And we can't just say, well, you know, wait 3 years later, we could possibly, this is a research question, we could possibly build the system. So that's not going to fly, right?
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay, so to recap, I think what we've discussed so far is that there might be a requirement for having two classes of nodes in this virtualized cluster that we are requesting, plus potentially some display and network modules.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
The two classes of nodes would be, well, maybe one is more commodity and cheaper. Maybe majority of the money is going towards that, and the second, which is targeted for computationally intensive jobs.
Mm-hmm.
With perhaps more cores per node, and also we talked about the network fabric. Maybe we want something which is more high end, and perhaps some specialized display hardware that will support some of the research that we want to do.
So we could actually just elaborate that just a little bit. In terms of display and visualization, Jay and I just talked very briefly about the possibilities to actually have a, you know, GPU into this picture, isn't it? Just in terms of rendering sophisticated scenes, I guess, and maybe GPU for some computational needs. And I'm not completely sure how we actually going to put that in the proposal yet. But you know, it's like GPU is gonna support a high speed rendering.
Yeah, that's true. So that will cause the issue that this will be more unique for different application, right?
Yeah,
this is the equipment for this particular application.
I think if even if there is half the applications can use this infrastructure,
right,
it's still reasonable as long as we don't budget most of our money into that piece of equipment.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So if we, let's say, 40% or 50% of our research uses that equipment, and we budget 20% or 10% of our money for that,
mm-hmm,
I think it's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can somehow use that display for everything, then you know, that's great as well.
Yeah.
And
that would display we use for just remind me that display could be used for the resource management as well, right?
Possibly.
Right.
Yeah.
So like the system wide monitor about all these workloads and so on and so forth, right?
So one way to bring in GPUs, this may be completely nonsense, but is that to have certain compute nodes that are, you know, have high video graphics capability or GPUs in them, and then we build a display that's not a single display driven by a single node, but rather a collaborative display that is driven by multiple nodes, and have, you know, not one screen, but, you know, I don't know, 20 screens that
right,
will be driven by 20 different displays and corresponding GPUs. I don't know if
We could actually have a display array to some extent. We can manage that by some kind of a high level programmable kind of a, what we put there is the switch view. So there are, it's a fancier KVM.
Yeah.
So that you can sort of have software control about what exactly you're seeing, and because we're gonna have backend computation and all these virtualization needs. And I think it makes it pop out in terms of, you know, we are looking at, you know, monitoring the system, not just, you know, for per experiment monitoring and the system-wide resource monitoring,
mm-hmm,
and
sort of an application monitoring as well, right? So there could be some kind of rendering or something that actually require.
So there is some sort of visualization application that's running specifically on those nodes that are connected to the display, right?
True.
So you need an application that will be fed some data and then you will do visualization.
Exactly, yeah.
And that may be a common software that visualizes all the experiments that are going on.
Right.
So anyway, I need to go in 2 minutes. So let me go to the other part, which is the applications, right, to recap. I think there was one application, of course, which is the simulation. I think that's slam dunk, that's easy. Zenu's application might be another one which can use the computer. I don't know how it uses the compute resources, but maybe you want to think more about that. I can see how it uses the display and the communication, but in terms of what you do with the compute is something we have to think carefully.
Mm-hmm.
The resource management and resource allocation, I think Ming had a good suggestion, which is to build a software infrastructure that is going to manage resources allocated to all the virtual machines and the infrastructure. I think a common management platform would be certainly useful. There are research problems there.
Right.
And we probably need a fourth or even a fifth application that I haven't seen yet. And maybe one of the applications that Ming suggested might be a fourth application. I think having four applications is reasonable.
Right. Yeah. I think that we need to have something in that scale.
So how do you want to start on this proposal? Maybe you want to start with some skeleton.
I'm actually starting to merge the previous proposal already. I mean, actually, I said in the introduction, I didn't actually go into details about the research, enable research, and the infrastructure because I still have questions. But I think the meeting actually cleared up some of those issues. And what I could do with the help from say maybe Ming, if you can sort of give me the specific kind of machines, because what we need to do is actually be very clear about what we are requesting and to some extent, and what are the machines that we want for virtualization needs, and I could just go very general, like a quad core, dual quad core, machine with a network fabric, could be gigabit Ethernet or some kind of high performance, even higher performance network connections. That could be easily done. But if you do need specific, say, virtualization or management software, and I guess we need to actually, this is the time to put them all together and say what you need. And I think the monitoring GPU usage should be fairly simple. I could just say, four nodes support like eight screens of something like that. I mean, just so that they are GPU enabled, and we could add that in.
Well, firstly, there is any software to manage those display wall arrays that we need?
There are. Yeah, do you have specific?
I don't know. My question is, do you want me to research all these softwares managing those GPUs or multiple nodes?
What do you think?
I really don't know much about these multi-display things. So.
But we need to mention that we need the software.
We need something, certainly.
We need something.
But I don't know what. So if you can do that research,
that would be great.
Yeah, that would be great. Yes. Can we grab a question? So what is the amount of money that we are looking at? I think we need to decide the equipment based on the money we are looking at.
The amount of money? I think the CRI has a range for...
So there are some... most of the proposals are going to be below... I think 800K or 750.
800K?
Yeah, 800,000.
So what happened is the majority, or what is that here, is the majority of II awards will be made between 200,000 to 750,000 range.
To 750.
So if we go with a higher range,
that are probably going to be capped by 750, because you could go larger, but as Raju said, you're probably going to go through a different review process, a much more stringent, or you know, they ask for more justification in this. So
I'm not saying in any way that discouraging in any way for us to go after the bigger money. I'm just saying that the review process that I've seen typically is more stringent if you're asking for more money. People are just more critical. And that may be, if we have a really good proposal, maybe we should go after the big money. Now it just depends on how the proposal looks in the end. That will.
So having said that, probably somewhere in the range, 750. Let's try for that. That's a lot of money in terms of equipment and some student support.
So why don't you guys continue discussing that?
I'll send you an email about what's needed.
And I'll send you the audio of our discussion.
Cool.
All right.